We are backstage, and we've caught up with Jennifer Higdon and Yvonne Lam. Brava, that was tremendous.
It was a lot of fun for me to listen to. I get the joy of sitting out in the audience and just grinning a lot.
Yes, and it's an incredible experience to be standing in front of the Philadelphia Orchestra. What can I say?
So, Jennifer, this was composed or premiered in 2010. What's it like listening to it now? Are you listening as a composer? Are you still getting into the details? Or are you listening as an audience member?
You know what? Actually, during the rehearsals, I listen as a composer, but it's basically been 7 years. So I do have some perspective. I've backed up. I've heard it with a lot of orchestras. So there's a thrill for me because it is the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's the hometown group, and they sound fantastic. So part of me is just getting to sit out there and just kind of enjoy the whole experience. And I imagine for the players, too, the soloists, it ages for them. Like if you come to any piece of music you've done a lot of times, now you're getting to do it. It's not your first time, so it's a completely different experience. So that means it, in essence, it's going to sound different. And for the Philly Orchestra, I think this is the eighth piece of mine that they've performed. So now they all kind of know my rhythms, you know, my harmonies, and that I write a lot of solos. So that adds something special, though, because it's this orchestra.
But this is a very unusual piece. How did it come about, Jennifer?
Well, it came about because the flutist of 8th Blackbird was attending a concert where my percussion concerto was being recorded in London, and he came up to me at intermission and said, "You've got to write a piece for us. You need to do a concerto for 8th Blackbird." And actually, I was standing there in the lobby. I said, "Yes, I absolutely will." So it takes a lot of years to get a project off the ground, but it has been a lot of fun. There's some unusual sounds in this, and that came about from the birds asking, "Can we move around on the stage?" So it kind of let my imagination fly free.
So what was your idea? Was your idea one of birds?
It was. I was thinking about the fact that this group sounds so good playing as an ensemble, but I also thought it would be fascinating to allow each one of them to play their own individual solos. So it's them as a group, but also them as individual players. And a lot of my musical gestures actually are a little bit like a bird flapping. It's like the middle of the gesture stays stationary and notes fly around that middle note. So I had a lot of imagery of birds, that's for sure.
Well, there's a lot of unusual techniques, starting with, at the very beginning, the use of the piano, which comes in at various parts of the piece.
Yeah, I actually decided to use something known as bowed piano. And I had seen a bowed piano ensemble in Colorado. And what that means is someone has, each one of the players has a bow. They've taken bow hair, they've created a bow that they string under the strings of the piano, one specific pitch for each player. And they pull it just like they're bowing a string instrument, except in this case, it's a piano. So it's a very eerie sound, but it's also kind of magical.
So Yvonne, you play violin and viola. What was it like playing the piano strings?
Well, I actually grew up playing the piano, but I've never played the inside of the piano. So it's like being a stringed instrument player inside the piano as well. So, and I also use guitar picks. And my number one thing is don't drop the pick in the piano. Don't drop the pick in the piano. But it's so much fun. It's so much fun to come out on stage, bow, and the first thing I do is put my instrument down and then walk to the piano. And everybody's like, "What's going on?"
When did you join the group?
I joined in 2011.
And how is performing with this ensemble different from your traditional ensembles?
Well, in many ways it's not, because we rehearse just like any string quartet would rehearse, just like any chamber ensemble rehearses. We're very rigorous with our preparation, and often more so because almost everything we play is unfamiliar. We mainly play new music. We also sometimes, you know, there isn't very much quote-unquote old music that's written for our sextet. So we have done some arranging. We've arranged, for example, Ligeti Etudes. We've also arranged some Monteverdi and some Gesualdo. But mostly, yes, we champion new music.
Well, you talked about the imagery of birds, and I love the imagery of the birds on a wire, because how many of us have sat on a summer day, looking up at the wires and seeing them lined with blackbirds, and even in a breeze, they're so delicate, but yet so strong and nimble.
One of the things I also imagine, you know, in the fall when you've got birds flocking and that you see them going in waves, I actually mimic that with the gestures going up and down in the ensemble and also the orchestra, like a big one entity breathing, although it may be 100 birds, and then they sink back down. So being able to mimic that in the music was kind of a fun challenge compositionally.
So you were guided by sort of the imagery in your head?
Yeah, I think imagery may be a big thing, because I know you and I've talked a lot about that with various pieces. I think images are a big thing for me. It comes from being in a family of visual artists.
You say you were guided by imagery. You also have an emotional arc to this piece.
Yeah, you know, I think this piece kind of represents for me the joy of new music. I mean, it sounds like the kind of thing a composer would say, but my enthusiasm for it. But also, I have to say, because this is the third piece I've written for Eighth Blackbird, it's also my enthusiasm for the group. That's part of it. When you really get to know players and you can kind of tailor the music, it's an ideal thing. I think it's probably what Mozart and Beethoven and Brahms had.
Wow. So, Yvonne, what drew you to join this group? And it is very different from some other ways of making music.
Well, I was assistant concertmaster of the opera in Washington, D.C., and one day I got an email from Jennifer Higdon, and I thought, well, this must be spam. Somebody probably hacked her email. Why is she emailing me? And I opened it, and she's asking me, am I interested about joining Eighth Blackbird, because they're looking for a violinist. And, you know, I had to get over all of the, well, I play opera, I'm in an orchestra, why would they ever want me? But then this opportunity just fell in my lap. And so I decided to audition, and the final audition was playing a concert with them on tour. And I prepared for so long, and I learned viola for this, and I got up on stage with them, and the experience was like none I had ever had. I mean, I just had so much fun. I was terrified, I was excited, I was enthusiastic, and I just thought, well, I want more of this. And so it worked out, and they asked me to join, and I haven't looked back.
Can you describe a moment, maybe in this piece, that is particularly puts you in the spotlight, your solo?
Oh, well, this is, I mean, Jennifer, she writes all of these notes for violin. And then the minute I have a solo, she gives me the viola.
You know, it's kind of amazing for me, as a composer, you think about using the highs and lows. And one of the things when I realized this was going to be a 25-minute piece was I wanted to be able to use alternate instruments for each one of the players. So, for instance, the flute player plays an alto flute and also plays piccolo. The clarinet switches to bass clarinet. And Yvonne here has to play the viola. Now, for people who've never played a string instrument, it's different to play a violin and a viola. Where your fingers go is it's a different space. And so I wrote this solo, but I love the darkness in it. It is a viola. You're hearing her play. And I think she sounds like she's played viola all of her life. It completely blows me away, because that adjustment, she's playing the violin when she starts out the piece. She has to make that mental adjustment of getting her fingers in a different place. I mean, it's a different stretch. She has to play a solo with a lot of notes that's very exposed, and then she goes back to the violin. But I have to say, the viola, you sound like a natural violist. It's such a thrill for me to hear it, and it's a very poignant moment. It's a little darker in the piece, but it really draws everyone's attention, I think, to the stage, just the color.
Do you think playing different instruments, or even playing the piano at the very beginning, informs your perspective when you go back to your own instrument?
Oh, absolutely, because all six of us in this group, we think of ourselves primarily as performers, not as instrumentalists. And, you know, violin just happens to be my chosen instrument, but I will do whatever is asked of me by composers. And, you know, if it means a viola solo, you know, I take that instrument and I try to make it my own. You know, if I'm bowing inside the piano, I practice it. I work on it just as if it's my instrument. And all of that versatility, it broadens my perspective about everything. And I go back to my instrument, and I'm like, well, you know, this is what this instrument does. This isn't my life. This isn't myself as a musician. This is a tool.
Right. And it's interesting, the whole concept of extended technique. I mean, this is extended technique.
Galore. It is, you know, and what extended techniques are is basically extending what we normally do on an instrument beyond the norm. But you have to think back. A long time ago, people used to only play the violin by pulling a bow across the strings. Somewhere along the line, somebody said, let me pluck this string. And now we don't even think twice about a pizzicato, because we do it all the time. And I have loads of them in the orchestra parts here. So in essence, really what musicians do, it's constantly evolving. It's constantly evolving. It usually happens through the new pieces, because composers are always trying to dream up things. And and then you get really good players, and they're like, well, I can make that happen, you know? So it's how we move music history along.
Absolutely. And so one day, people will think nothing of people standing around a piano, plucking it with guitar picks and bowing it and using it in all sorts of ways. Well, thank you so much, Yvonne Lam and Jennifer Higdon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.